What's going with the mirror there? Just on the ground.
Somebody gave it to me, and I thought,
you're like,
okay.
There's no way that's going to be ever be hung.
That's all right. Exactly.
Guys,
what
I have to stop you there. I'm a dick. I forgot to press record.
Thank you.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Now we're recording. Well, yes. You missed some of the best part. I'm so sorry.
You know what? Welcome to Romy and Dan's Husker Reunion, but I'm not going to edit this out because I stuffed up.
How can you edit out something that wasn't recorded?
Well, no, editing out the admission of fucking up. That's what I'm going to edit out. I'm just going to continue on with this. So, ladies and gentlemen,
every time that, you know, he fucked up.
If he had a needle for every time?
A nickel?
I'd have one nickel. I would have one nickel. This is the first time I fucked up.
You might have a dollar.
Well,
podcasts are
famous for being slick. For being super well edited.
That is true.
But that is not how we play.
No,
I'm joking.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was just wondering about, for those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking about Romy's apartment.
Yes, we were. By the way, this is Joel McHale.
Round
of applause. Round of applause for that.
Actor, comedian, talk show host.
Talk show.
What would you call talk soup?
The soup?
Yes.
Or sorry. I'm sorry.
She just aged herself. And just now I know how old you are.
I'm his age.
So you can remember
I'm older
way
than
back
you,
when
actually.
To talk soup.
Yeah.
No, so the soup started in 2004 when you guys were in junior high.
I'd finished college.
Yeah, me
by
too.
That time. Look at you guys.
I just finished drama school.
Yeah, wow. Drama school, that kind of thing.
When did Spartacus start up?
That was 2009 was when the first season started with that. Then we had that 2010 break, and then 2011, 2012, and then finished 2012.
Should never have stopped it. But, I mean, Spartacus... I mean, the story had to be told.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, like,
you just could have really slowed it down.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You were actually one of the original superstars that was actually a fan.
Oh my gosh, was I a fan?
Yeah.
I looked forward to it. It was that and Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How did?
Very excited.
Were you one of the rare people that actually had stars?
I had stars.
Yeah.
I'm sure I had stars plus and all the other versions of it. But I remember seeing a preview for it before Avatar, I think.
Really?
And all I thought was, oh man, what, this 300 ripoff is going to be awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And boy.
Is that how it was viewed as a 300 ripoff?
Well, the style of it, the fighting was all 300.
And it was set at that time. And then who would have thought it was turned into one of the best series and storytelling. It was great. For all of you out there, you should definitely, it is worth it.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Dan was saying that you had the cast on
your
show.
Yeah.
I can't believe the whole cast agreed. That was very exciting.
Dude, we were doing nothing.
It was
and it was it's super cool to have, you know, have somebody of your stature on that kind of a show. Like, hey, do you want to come on? I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, totally.
They were all on camera at once.
Yes, we were.
Very happy.
We were. And
the Spartacus Blood and Sand, they were very happy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and I was telling Romy just before that when you were introducing us to the audience, they had no fucking idea who
we were. Yeah, that happened a couple times. But
various
other guests we'd have on where people were like, who is that? And then... We had we had the cast of Breaking Bad on before it was popular.
Really?
Oh,
and everyone on the staff was like, you got to watch this. And before anybody was watching. And then obviously things changed. But
no, totally. So you guys were the, you know.
I would say we caught the zeitgeist for about a month and then it all just went away.
Yeah. How long did the show go for?
12 years.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a while.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, that at that point in 2004, when you guys were in junior high, I had no agent. So I had a commercial agent who, they were fantastic. And then I was what was called hip pocketed here in Hollywood. You guys.
Yes, I've heard about that.
That's where an agent from an agency will come to you and say, I like you, but I can't get anyone on the team excited. So I'm just going to submit you. So you kind of go... It's kind of like, oh, well, I'm the agent would be like, I'm the cool kid in the high school. no one in the clique is going to like you, but yeah. I am going to hang out with you alone.
And, so that she's all at you?
We're kind of,
that is a great way
we're
to
kind of embarrassed by you.
Hip-pocketed.
Yeah.
And don't they still hip pocket?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And hanging, I mean, it's good. I mean, it worked out, but so anyway, it was one of many auditions to come up. I had been on a couple of shows, like just appeared on a couple of shows on E, but because I couldn't get a real acting job, I couldn't get in auditions, but I was doing a ton of commercials. And this woman, she was wonderful. She still works at E. Her name's Annie. And I was part of a casting process to bring the show, to bring Talk Soup back, but not the way. They didn't want to call it The Soup. They didn't want any of that. That came later. So anyway, it took 6 months to get the job, not because of the fierce competition, but because at that time, E was not, there's no rush over there
yeah,
to do anything. Yeah. And
were the Kardashians on at that time?
No.
No?
They came on a year later. Along with Dr. 90210, there's an old one.
Oh, wow.
Which was like, it was very, it was just plastic surgeons.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I'd ever seen, ever on camera, and I flinched when it happened. A doctor said, you know, when we do nose jobs, we have to break the nose, and everyone thinks it's this careful thing. And he just reached over and broke this woman's nose while she was out. And he was like, that's all we do, we just break it like that. And I went,
So blasé about it all.
Yeah. They were, I wonder where they are. I remember there was one of the wives of one of the doctors. It was a whole episode about how she dropped below 100 pounds. And she was augmented in the chest area. So that was
just falling over.
So if you were to separate that, I mean, she must have been 80 pounds. And I was like, it was a whole episode about how she was
so
not happy about dropping below 100 pounds.
So
I know I've really steered this
no,
off.
No, no, no. Was the 80 pounds inclusive of the breasts?
Yes.
So how much would she probably have weighed?
Well, she was probably like 99 pounds, but with the augmentation, it was probably added, I don't know, 10 pounds, I would say, 5 pounds. I don't know.
She wasn't happy about dropping below? What
she wasn't.
What woman in Hollywood has ever said that? I'm so skinny.
I don't know.
It's that. Yeah.
I can't answer that.
Right?
This is your now. Department, Rome.
This like, is a, her husband was the doctor who had scrubs. His surgical scrubs were specially made to look like a gi in Kung Fu.
Oh, my God.
Like a
God.
Kung Fu gi. And so, they were like cut off here. She was very... He was fully waxed. It was glorious.
That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
So
that was television in
the
mid 2000s.
That could have been.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. I have seen a billboard for I think it was plastic surgeons, and there's like a really professional photo of one of the plastic surgeons, and then the other one is in a very sexy pose with cut off scrubs
him.
As well and stuff like that. Like very model kind of pose.
That's what I want falling on me during my plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Is armpit sweat and hair.
Yeah, yeah. After a broken nose. So it took. So it took 6 months. But like, had you gotten the job, and it just took 6 months to?
No, they just kept bringing me back. They're like, "Hey, would you come back and read?"
What was that process like? Just like
there was. It was the first one was I read some jokes. I wrote some jokes and read them,
mm-hmm.
and then they brought me back. We've some more jokes. I just read teleprompter, which I'm terrible at. I'm fully dyslexic, so I had to basically memorize the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I had a meeting, and then still didn't get the job. But it wasn't like, oh, we're still you're right there. It wasn't like that. It was like, oh yeah, I know. We'll see. Maybe we'll see you soon. And and then. In June, I think I first went in January, and then June they're like, "All right, we're going to make a pilot presentation," which took about $8 because it was 4 minutes of jokes with me on camera and then putting stills behind me, and then they pitched it, and the people went, "Oh, how much does it cost?" That's it. Great, we'll put it on, and then we were on Friday nights.
We're going to shoot in Bulgaria. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that would have made it more expensive. Yeah. They would have had to mail stuff at that point. So that's And then it didn't rate for almost a year. Like we didn't. we were just screwing around telling jokes to ourselves.
Were you at all during this period afraid that it would be taken off?
No, I mean, no. It was. I wasn't like, oh no, this is. I've already spent this money, so this better come through for me. I wasn't that at all. I had already been well, I guess, conditioned to know that nothing in when it comes to entertainment, this is not a bad thing or a good thing, but getting a series that works is very difficult, and you can get getting pilots was difficult enough, but like you can't ever rely on people. I see it still to this day. People are like, and then I'm gonna get on this show, and this then I will become a billionaire, and that stuff it's very rare to get
a show
that
so
works.
Much, yeah.
You have to look at it like you're surfing, which is, oh, here comes a good wave. I think I'll try and take this one. And then you get on it and you're like, maybe this will ride me all the way into the shore. But most likely, you'll wipe out before that.
Yeah, hit some coral.
Yeah, you might. Then you'll cut up your feet.
Yeah.
No, but then you just swim
another
back
surfer
out and
comes
you just
and...
keep doing it. So,
yeah.
And whenever Harrison Ford gives a speech, he talks about how the only reason why he became famous is because everyone else left, and
that's right.
I was like, "Eh, that's somewhat true." It does help if you're that good looking and you're well. That's not what
he was the reader,
but you're
as well.
Really damn good at acting. He's very good and very funny, and
yeah.
But he's right in that it's a marathon, and or it's an ultra marathon, and not a sprint, guys.
Yeah,
there's a little advice for you.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of people win the sprint.
Great advice.
Every now and then, but.
Yeah, but the sprint, and then you go, what happened to that guy?
Yeah.
True.
It's true.
I am obsessive compulsive and ADHD, so I am constant and a workaholic, so they're going to have to pry me. They're going to have to pull me out of here. I can't even take vacation without a panic attack.
So oh, really?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Not a panic attack, but I'm like, I should be out doing something. I should be out there pursuing something.
Yeah.
And my wife will be like, we're taking 3 days off. I'm
You're like,
great.
Oh,
okay, fine.
No.
I'm very much the same way. Mm-hmm. OCD, not ADHD.
I can see the way you decorated your bar area that you are very OCD.
I mean, like, now I've never actually fully taken notice of it, but it looks hilarious.
I'm going to take a photo of it.
Please.
It's a bottle of whiskey and a massive bottle of apple juice.
Yes.
I was meaning to make this wonderful drink because I don't drink at all.
Well, how can you? Well, then how would you know if it's wonderful?
Because I did have a shot of this at a party and I said, I don't drink. They said, it doesn't taste like booze. Of course, I got drunk right away, but I was like, this tastes so good.
Oh, so you wanted to recreate that.
And yeah, but actually not for me, but for other people.
Okay. So when's the party?
You let me know and I'll make it.
Oh, I have to.
You're invited. You'll be the host.
I can just go like, we're having the party tonight at your house.
And I'll make it.
I've got 80 people lined up. We're all coming over.
I have to get lots more rum and lots more apple juice and
that is true.
Cinnamon sticks and brown sugar.
There we go.
Wow. Just get a Snickers bar and put it in half a glass of vodka and stir it around.
That sounds delicious.
That would actually be probably pretty cool.
Oh, I'm sure that has been attempted.
Yes.
There's been a blender, a Snickers bar. And some vodka.
Definitely.
And some protein
just
powder.
Keep definitely. Mixing it. Just
and they probably charge $25 for that at some bar in Los Angeles.
That's true.
Yes.
It would be cheaper in Australia? Not in Sydney.
No.
Not over
Australia's
pretty. Not looking that bridge over.
Yeah,
but
Australia's
Brisbane.
Brisbane, where I'm from, probably a little cheaper.
Perth?
Perth, Perth is quite expensive,
that
I've heard, because
money,
of money.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so far away from everything, so they could probably charge whatever they want.
Yeah.
Have you been to all those places?
I've not been to Perth. I've been around the, you know, been to the major ones on the edge.
Yeah, because nothing's in the middle.
And then, everyone talks in Australia, talks about, no one from Australia's been to the middle, barely.
Nope.
And like, it takes a while to get there, too.
Yeah.
If you want to get to the center of the continent,
yeah.
Is it a 5-hour plane ride, 4-hour plane ride?
You don't
even know?
I don't know.
How far away is that big red rock from Brisbane?
I think you would have to fly to Darwin and then maybe catch a small plane or something like that to Uluru.
I do know it is Australia has the longest uninterrupted train track on the planet.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think it's also the straightest dead shot train track.
Yeah. We've also got like just ridiculous.
But isn't expansive. That also the same with America? Like, how many people from the East or West Coast decide they're going to go to Idaho?
Well, it's Missouri? More. I feel like it's a lot more.
Well,
I mean, we are way more populated. There's more people.
There's more people in California than the entirety of Australia.
And Australia is as big as North America or half of North America.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know it was so
desolate.
Yes.
Yeah. But well, I mean, we only live kind of in the coastal areas. I mean, obviously, there's a smattering of people all throughout the country, but the majority of us live.
Who lives in the middle?
People. And they just, then they just.
You got Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, that's right.
Yahoo
that's right.
Sirius. And some oh my guys God. From Midnight Oil and Cat Empire. The entire band Cat Empire.
My
no,
God.
But in America.
I love how you mentioned Yahoo Sirius. I haven't heard about
it's
him.
My favorite
for
go-to.
Ages.
It's my go-to
I don't even
Australian
know what Yahoo
reference.
Yahoo Sirius was
Young Einstein? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very successful.
Ned Kelly.
He wrote it and I think he directed it.
I think so. I remember
he was on the cover of Time magazine in America in 1985.
I think so. Because I remember
probably why I don't know.
Yeah. I remember going and seeing Young Einstein in the cinemas.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. That Young guy, Einstein and also Ned Kelly or whatever he did. He's this comedian, like redhead comedian that just was.
I know Mel Gibson, Kate Blanchett.
Wow.
Well, I think Mel was born. I think Mel was born in Hawaii.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe's.
Oh, you remember
Russell Crowe's a New Zealander.
Lives in.
He does. He does.
Well, actually, Mel Gibson and Nicole Kidman were both Americans.
American. Yeah.
Is Sam Neill the New Zealander?
Really?
Yes. But he lives in Australia. Where does he grow his wine?
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure about that. But the majority of like Australian actors are from New Zealand or somewhere else. But I remember when Russell Crowe first came to prominence and, you know, he was having like those.
Is that an Aussie?
No. I mean, I think, I'm not sure how long he grew up in New Zealand for, but whenever he got in trouble in his early years, he was a New Zealander in the paper. But whenever he was like, you know, getting success, he was, Australian Russell Crowe. I just remember that.
I like how upset Australians get if they're like, well, you know, have you been to, you know, like, oh, well, you know, that's where all the sheep are in Australia. It's like, no, that's New Zealand.
Yes.
They're like, oh, that's the same. No, it's not the same. And they get so mad. It makes me so happy.
Well, I guess that's just like when Canadians and Americans, like, are you from America? And like, no, I'm Canadian.
Well, the Canadians would be very like, off. I'm not American. I'm Canadian. Yeah. And the Americans would be like, yeah, maybe. I might be. I don't know. Could be.
What's Canada?
It's kind of like, that's right.
Where's
up there.
That?
Yeah.
It's like the Boston-New York rivalry with sports where Boston, they're so mad at New York all the time. And New York's like, yeah, whatever, dude. It's fine. We'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Do you follow any
American sport?
Yes. Do you follow any sport around the world?
Do I have a footy team?
Yes.
Yeah, I like the American sports a lot.
What American sports do you like?
You name. It's pretty much football, basketball.
So everything? Everything
yeah, I like tennis a lot.
Did you watch the Federer and Djokovic?
Now, who is that? I don't remember what. Yeah, that was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And everyone was rooting for Federer because they're...
Yeah, because everybody
right, like,
loves
he's
Federer.
Old. He should win. But Nadal's a very nice man as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I could be okay with them playing that match for years and years and years.
Yeah. You following here, Rhymes?
Not at all.
But the Federer-Nadal match way back when, that was also...
Yeah, I remember watching.
A couple of them were
amazing.
Just crazy. The fact that Nadal recovered from his knee injury so well is pretty remarkable.
Did you play any sport?
I played a lot of sports.
Yeah.
That's all I did.
I can tell.
Thank you. What does that mean? Like the way you were limping in here. That's all I did. If there was a ball, I was throwing it or bouncing it or...
Tickling it.
Tickling it, shaving it. I even got into darts at one point.
Really?
I played table tennis. Anything that I could score points with and play a game with, I was doing it.
You were rather competitive?
Yes. That's why I'm going to win this podcast.
You're winning it right now.
Because I couldn't read, it was all I wanted to do. I couldn't do math. All I wanted to do was act and throw balls.
Yeah. Have you been wanting to act for a very long time? Like,
since I was a yeah oh like I was on stage when I was a first grader.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I had a good time. I was the we did okay. So in my school in New Jersey, in
wait, what? I'm from New Jersey.
Well, not where the part I'm from.
Where are you from?
Haddonfield.
Yeah, I'm not that part.
Just over. It's a suburb of Philadelphia.
Yeah,
it's way down south.
Okay,
near Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Oh, I've heard of Cherry Hill.
Well, that's a much bigger place. Anyway, it's a Dutch reform town, Haddonfield, everybody. So all the stores were closed. Anyway, it's a very cute town. But we only lived there for 2 years. But anyway, I did a – it's a Small World, the play. It's a Small World is the ride from Disneyland.
Yes. Oh, yes, after all.
Which Disney was already making inroads into the public school system by – you could do the play. And so there was all these different scenes from all over the planet of like, oh, there's a bell ringers from Switzerland. There was like a rickshaw in the thing that had been built for the play. And there was all these parts like who's going to play the snake that gets charmed out of the basket? Who's going to play? Like, I literally played a monkey at some point for Brazil or something. And so everyone auditioned for all the roles, and they ended up, I don't think it was because I was so good at them. I think it was because Joel wants to do it. So
were
let
you
him,
tall?
Yes, I was always tall.
Yeah.
But you know, snakes are not necessarily tall.
That is true. That is true.
Anyway, so then that's where I got the book.
So it's not like you were short and had a growth spurt somewhere in your teenage years?
I was always larger. my dad, though, like my dad was always very little, and then he grew. Like when he entered high school, he was 90. He boxed in the below 100-pound weight class, which is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's 6'2". So, but I got my growth spurt like 5th and 6th grade.
Yeah.
Well, by the time I was 8th grade, I was over 6 feet in 8th grade. And then then I was 6'4 by the time I left high school.
6'4. Nice. I'm 6'2. So you tower over me.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. You've won that.
Whole 2 inches.
I did it. How tall are you?
5'6".
Yeah. Got you too.
At least I've won that game.
No, you mean like 5'5 and 3/4"?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Actually, not. I'm actually exactly 5'6". But I'm sure as I get older, I'll get to 5'5 3/4" at some point.
That's my goal, is to get down to 5'6".
Yeah.
that's one hell of a shrinkage.
Requires some big surgeries.
Yeah, absolutely. Get rid of your knees.
That's fine.
Your shins.
If you believe it, you can do it.
Yeah.
Were you always large?
Well,
because you know, on Spartacus Blood and Sand, you looked huge.
It's because I was quite taller than a lot of the other people. Yeah. Like,
so if I had been on that show,
oh, you would have just been a monster.
You would have been the giant.
You would have been a monster.
Damn, we should have gone on that show.
And so, like, being tall hasn't been to your detriment in this industry.
No, I mean, they can do anything they want now. I mean, you can be a tiny person and you can be an enormous person, pretty much. So, yes, on Community, all the women were 5'4".
Yeah, they look pretty tiny.
So they were all standing on boxes when they were in conversations with me, which was very nice of them, because I guess they could have dug trenches for me, but that would have been a lot of digging.
Yeah, a bit more.
Very hard on the soundstage.
Yeah. So with The Soup, did that obviously bring you a pretty big level of
money? Yep.
Well, and fame? And
yep.
Fame?
That changed everything. But it wasn't overnight. It wasn't like...
Well, I mean, 12 years.
Yeah, but that first year, no one watched.
Yeah.
And but then were
it
you...
just... It was just glacial ratings as it slowly crept up.
Were you not afraid that being known for The Soup would actually hurt your acting career in some bit, because people would see you as
what acting way? Career? There wasn't much of a career at that point. No. And no, because Greg Kinnear had been the host of Talk Soup in the 90s. And he
really?
Yeah. So there you go.
Man.
That's right. Although that's
you
what
guys
he
did
was...
your research.
No.
Well, you know, but no, because I knew, because I love him as an actor, but I knew he was on a show and I could not remember which one he was on. And now
you could have just typed in Greg Kinnear Wikipedia and then it would have come up.
Well, when he comes on the show, then I will definitely look that up.
Wow.
Do you know Greg?
I've met him.
Yeah.
Seemed very nice man.
That's good. That's good.
No, and so that I thought, well, if he did that, I could possibly follow that pattern.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
And as everyone knows, I have an Oscar nomination.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Well done.
Thank yes. you. I did it again.
Well done you.
So but he remained he was a talk show host and an actor for a long time.
Yeah.
And now he just has a pile of money and doesn't have to do anything.
That's true.
No,
that's
you
true.
Actually
Oh, he's still doing movies and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he just did that God is Real movie. Something like that.
I'm not too sure. I actually, today, driving over here, I passed.
I'm getting more water. Keep talking.
That's okay.
Grab that.
I'll listen to you. I'm still listening.
Yes, he is.
Are you fish oil?
Some Coke, like Coca-Cola or like
no,
new Coke?
Mixed with Coca-Cola.
New Coke. Well, I mean, there used to be cocaine and Coke, so.
New Coke. You remember New Coke?
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
No.
That was
What was I going to say? Yeah, I was passing a billboard with Greg Kinnear was in it. And it looked like some guy's hands holding a football and he had handcuffs over it. So I don't know what that was. But
Well, there's only one way to find out.
That is true. Google as our friend.
No.
No?
That's not how you
find out. Or to go and see the
film. No, you just have to get your encyclopedias out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Put them up.
So what else was I going to say? So,
I like derailing where you guys were going.
No, that's fine. We'll bring it back. We'll bring it back.
So we
I just
were
want
saying-
to point out that Romy's mug says, I am brave, fearless, bold, and strong, which is quite a way to start the morning.
I try.
And mine's peace, love, and frogs.
Rainforest Cafe. Where'd you get the Rainforest Cafe mug?
Not my mugs.
Whose are the mugs?
My roommates.
Who's the roommate?
They're not here. They're in...
They're not here.
I don't know.
Where are they?
Los Gatos.
Oh, so they're rich.
I don't know.
Los Gatos is like the nicest neighborhood in Silicon Valley.
Is it?
I'm not just making it up.
No,
Are you thinking I'm bluffing you right now?
No, I was just... yes.
Is it? Yes, it is.
No,
confirmed.
Actually, I didn't know. I don't know much about Northern California.
They live in Los Gatos?
Yeah.
And here?
Yes. Yeah. They're not here very often, which is why they
that
just
person has money. Yeah.
Okay.
Their parents might have money. Or that person, yeah, that person's doing okay.
Owns a tech company or something like that?
Yeah. I think all the bigwigs live there.
Oh.
I think Zuckerberg lives there.
Really?
Yes.
I keep on
Isn't Zuckerberg in trouble now?
I keep on being invited up there. But I'm like you. I just can't get away from Los Angeles. I will have anxiety if I leave.
Yeah, well, you know, clearly, you take it out on your decorating.
Do you know why?
Is yeah, because... it sounds like you can't make you have to make all your decisions with your roommate who's never here. You know, the living room looks pretty good. I mean, that looks done, except for maybe some wall covering.
Do you know what it is? Is because I've been in Los Angeles since 2006, and the first place I lived in was a nice townhouse, and I did it up all nicely. And then a couple of years later, I had to move. And then
why did you have
a year,
to move?
Because they sold the place.
Ah.
And then I went to another townhouse, and then after a year, they sold the place. And places kept on being sold underneath me, so I said
you have
I
have post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. So I said
so you're
I,
keeping it very. Just in case.
I have a storage unit that I have actually most of my stuff in because I refuse to bring it out. That's only here because somebody was moving out and I have a mirror in storage and I didn't want to bring it out. And he goes, hey, I don't want to lug this. And I said, oh, it's pretty nice. He goes,
why do you keep all that shit in storage?
Because
you
I
don't
always...
need it.
No, I've got some really nice things in storage. It's just,
but it's now it's just there
to,
collecting.
Because I don't plan on staying here.
Oh, what's the next plan? What's...
Well, Dan knows this. I am
here. We go
looking for another place to live.
Oh, well, for those of you listening in Brisbane.
If you they can say that in place, Jaws,
Brisbane.
Yeah, I remember watching Jaws like all the way back when I was younger, and one of the guys was like, "I'm not going all the way to Brisbane," and I remember going, "Oh, that's my city."
Oh, you weren't pissed about how they said it?
No, just the fact that in a Spielberg movie they mentioned my city. And, like, whenever I talk to people around here, they always go, oh, where are you from? Are you from Sydney or Melbourne? I'm like, no, I'm from Brisbane. No one's ever been to Brisbane unless they're traveling through to get to Great Barrier Reef.
Right, which doesn't exist anymore.
Well, it's getting that way.
The reef is pretty much dead, right?
It's, a lot of it's pretty screwed up. Yeah.
I know that once in a while they'll be like, they found a way to bring it back, and then you don't hear much. And then I spoke to some divers Thank you. I'm on Shark Week, guys. I spoke to some divers, and they were like, it's finished.
It's pretty, totally like, all the coral has been pretty bleached. Messed up and stuff like that. So, which is, and I've never been there. That's another thing.
See?
Yeah.
More Australians. I'm
probably, less my chance. Stuff like, isn't there a lot of people in LA who've never been to Disneyland or been to Universal Studios and all that sort of stuff?
I would say that most have been to Disneyland.
Yeah.
My kids, though, they've never been to, like, what do you call it? Magic Mountain.
Oh, Magic Mountain's fun.
Yeah. I don't know why we haven't. They have expressed zero interest in it. And I'm like, well, you should go up there. Dad wants to. And they're like, all right, if you want to. But my
and you're
parents,
the one running, go.
But I grew up in Seattle where we would drive across the country often. So we saw everything, but I didn't. We never saw the South because my parents didn't. We never made it down south, and I didn't get to the South until 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that proves my point that less Australians have been to the center of the country than Americans have been to the center of theirs. Have you been to Oregon?
I would agree with you.
I've been everywhere because I was in a touring theater group.
There you go.
In New York City.
But like, you wouldn't, if you were in a touring theater group of Australia,
would you go to three places.
Would you go to Darwin?
Yeah.
Would you go to?
You go to all the major capital cities.
All right.
So you go to like Darwin, Brisbane. You probably go to Cairns, Sydney, ACT.
ACT?
Yeah. ACT is the Australian Capital Territory. So that's the actual capital of Australia.
There's also a drama school in San Francisco named ACT.
I don't think they're related, but...
No, I don't think so.
All right, so I'm going to look at a map of Australia.
And see if I get it all right?
No, I'm going to see if... all right, if you're in the if you're in a traveling theater company...
Yes.
Man, there really is nothing. It's hard to... I'm in the Northern Territory, and I'm just trying to...
Yeah, I'm looking at your phone right now. There is nothing.
I know, it's just a white blank screen.
Come on. There we go. You might go to Alice Springs, right?
Well, I don't know if there's any, like, I mean, there's a population there, but I don't know how big the population would be.
Right. Would you go to, I mean, see, it really is desolate. Would you go to Eulara?
Eulara. Can I see it? It might be pronounced differently. Is it
Eulara? Hi.
Eulara. Maybe.
You ever heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Ooh.
No, I have not. There's plenty of little tiny towns in Australia. I haven't heard of it.
There it is.
I mean, it depends on the company. If it's a smaller touring company, I think they would do all those regional kind of places. But you know, the bigger ones probably just go to
the major
companies and all that stuff.
No, we're not going to cut anything.
We're not cutting
shit
out.
What play did you tour or musical?
It was Shakespeare. It was all Shakespeare.
Which one, did you do?
Julius Caesar, The Tempest.
Did
those
a bunch
were
of
my
them.
Two.
All right. Would you rotate them out each night? Or you don't remember?
I don't. I mean, I do, but I don't because.
You do, but you don't.
I mean, we were every day, and I can't remember if it was just Julius Caesar for like one night and then Midsummer's or The Tempest for like three. And then, right.
Who did you play?
I was
Johnny Tempest.
Yeah.
I was Portia and Miranda.
Ah, Portia. Yes. I was, who did I play? Prince Aragon and Balthazar. That's who I played in Merchant of Venice.
Nice.
Yes.
Really nice.
Yes.
Super anti-Semitic.
No, wait.
Isn't that the one with
Merchant of Venice? Yeah. Absolutely.
There's no way. Every time they put that play up, they're like, no, we figured out how to make it not anti-Semitic.
We've cut out that entire. We've cut out Shylock.
Yeah, no.
We completely
just can't get around it.
Yeah.
That's a fun play.
Yes. Is there a couple of plays, Shakespearean plays, that are quite anti-Semitic, or is it just Merchant of Venice?
That one is kind of specifically.
Yeah. It's there. Because of Shylock.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be Portia in Merchant of Venice.
Merchant.
I always wanted to be King Lear in Merchant of Venice.
Yeah.
That's
he would
one.
Just show up. Just, hey guys,
what's going
on? Actually, that's an idea.
You're not going to believe this.
Have a movie with a Shakespeare with one like Merchant of Venice going, and then King Lear, like another character from another major Shakespearean.
Richard III pops up. You know,
his
little.
He's like, this asshole showed up.
All the villains get together, maybe.
Titus. Ooh, there we go.
How about that?
That's kind of something that can be done.
All right.
I like that.
Yeah, done.
Sounds like a fun writing project.
Absolutely.
And then some theater nerds would love it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Would you write it contemporary or would you actually try and
Oh no, you could
recreate.
You could
Shakespeare.
Mix all that together.
Yeah,
you just it'd be like some of it would be period, some of it would be like pre-World War II.
Yeah, space.
Then you go space Shakespeare.
That kind of.
There's
thing.
Not enough space Shakespeare.
That would be that'd be interesting.
I don't
that
think there's any space Shakespeare. Has there been that I've seen?
Not yet.
Not yet. Well,
but, you know. I think they did a lot in Star Trek Next Generation because they had, you know. They had one of the greatest
Shakespearean actors.
Patrick Stewart.
No, not him.
No.
Jonathan Frakes, the greatest Shakespearean actor I know.
Are you a big Trekkie?
I am a big Trekkie, yes. Yeah. I do. I love Star Trek.
Yeah. Do you like the Orville and all that sort of stuff as well?
You know, I haven't watched Orville, but I'm sorry, Mr. Seth. No, but that said, I don't watch a lot of TV anymore. I watch a lot of sports.
Fair enough.
But I don't watch a lot. When someone finally says you need to watch, like if I get the flu, then I will watch. I watched all of Fargo, all three seasons, when I had the flu for a week.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great.
Yeah, yeah.
I just started watching Norsemen because my friend said, if you don't start watching, I'm going to hit you. So
I've not heard of Norsemen.
It is on Netflix, and it is truly great.
Yeah.
You remember when Vikings came out on is that my phone?
I think so.
Yeah. Vikings came out on History Channel.
And then everybody just did.
Yeah, everyone did. This is Vikings meets The Office.
Really?
Yes, it is hilarious.
Like British Office or American Office?
I guess Norwegian Office.
Norsemen. I'm going to see that. Have you seen Stranger Things?
No, I haven't seen that, even though I...
You've heard all the hype, right?
Yeah, no, I believe I have all of... I have the last season of Game of Thrones all ready to watch.
Oh.
And now it's now the whole thing about spoilers and all that, it's blown over so that... No one's now. It's all up. So now I'm like, oh well, I can watch.
Don't need to watch it now, because everybody knows everything.
I just watched a movie called Bushwick last night, which was great.
What's that about?
With John Batista,
okay, yeah, the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it was great, and Brittany Snow. Someone said you should watch this movie, and then I did, and I was like, this was great.
Nice.
I would like to watch another one like this.
Fantastic. I was told to watch a TV series called Dark. It's a German TV series. And I've watched the first episode. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's apparently getting a
where is that?
Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it in German with subtitles?
You can do either or. It started off with English voiceover. And I just like, no, I can't do this.
Horrible.
I can't do this.
So in Norsemen, apparently they shoot it all in Norwegian, and then they'll do the couple last takes in English because they
really
speak it.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh,
so that's when I was watching. I was like, how the hell did they pull? And boy, they did in a big way.
That's pretty awesome. Do you have to audition for anything anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll read for stuff. If it's something that I really am going after, then I'll read for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it's but believe me, I like it when they offer it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That is always a great thing.
What did you have to read for, say, X-Files?
No.
Oh, no. You lucky mother.
God bless Chris Carter.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. How did he approach you?
Like, the offer just came in, and my agents always try to play it cool. Like, is this something you would want to do? And I was like, I've already accepted. I'm already here in Canada. I've already flown myself up. Yes, I was I continue to be a huge fan of it. And
X-Files is amazing.
Yeah,
yes.
I agree.
When I was saying Scully and Mulder out loud to them, I was like, look at that.
Hey.
I just said those things. And then I asked David, because I can...
Yeah,
call.
Got him on.
I asked
on
him about a specific episode in the 90s, and he just kind of looked at me and was like, are you a fan? And I'm like, oh, yes.
No.
Oh, yes, I am. And he was like, all right, I see. So,
did he answer the question?
He did.
Yeah. What was the episode?
I think it was that famous episode called, it was a question about that thing called Home, where.
The inbred?
Yeah.
Next door, yeah.
Which
that's actually one of my favorite episodes.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
it's one of the more famous ones because Fox famously said, we will never show that again. And we're angry that we showed it. And then, which is kind of like,
why?
Well, then, if you were angry, why did you allow it to be shown in the first place?
Yeah.
And Chris Carter's like, I sent them. I sent it all. I think it was one of those things because this show was such a hit that they weren't worried about it, so they weren't watching every episode. But it is, if you watch that episode now, you're like, this aired on regular television.
Yeah.
It starts with three super, you can't really tell what they look like, but they're all insanely inbred, yeah, burying a live, dead baby. Or live.
No, is it
burying
live?
A live baby.
Yeah.
In a
field.
In a baseball field.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of it.
Have you seen this, Rhymes?
No, not that episode. Oof. I haven't seen all the episodes.
I remember that episode specifically because they do this amazing, moody scene where the three brothers, are they all brothers?
Yes.
Three brothers get into the car and they're driving off to the sheriff's place and there's no sound except for the music that they're playing, and they're playing this old kind of creepy music, and it was just done so well. I love that kind
because
of shit.
I don't really reveal the whole thing, but the mom was kind of running the place.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
all
yeah.
three of them were having a lot of sex with their mom. I mean,
it's a delightful
that's
episode.
That's on at 9 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah.
God, that should be an episode of Game of Thrones.
It probably was.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. I haven't watched the last season.
Yeah.
But everyone I talk to goes, oh, it's so disappointing. And I can't wait to get into it. I'm like, oh, okay, great.
Like I
so you
what
watched
do you think
it
of
all
it? Because you know I was messaging Dan.
No, yeah, you were right into it.
You're okay with it, whatever it was.
I was disappointed on how they. You know what? I just felt it was a bit rushed, and that's what I told Dan. I said, you know, usually
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
It's been a slow burn for you. The entire
no, I think they needed show. To take more time in between seasons. I like this.
Like 3 years
I
between.
I do.
Instead
I was so funny.
Year.
They're like, well, I can't wait for next season. When's that? 3 years from now.
Yeah. It's like Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, Jamie and Brienne get together in one night and then they break up in one night. I mean, in one episode. I'm just like, oh, come on. This should have happened in six.
Six seasons ago.
I was always with that show because I was always like, oh, you're losing me. I don't know. I think I'm done. And then the Red Wedding happens and you're like, I'm back.
Yeah.
And then it would be like four insanely good episodes.
Yes.
And
yeah, so. I was in and out a lot as well. Because I sometimes kind of felt they just were trying to be like full on gross and violent for the sake of being full on gross and violent.
Yeah.
And then something would happen. I'd be like, all right, I'm watching it again. But then I went back and started rewatching it and kind of went, oh, okay, this is actually a lot better than what I originally, because I was in and out the whole.
I mean, that Hodor thing is one of the greatest Hodor, things that's ever happened.
Hodor was pretty fucking
in
awesome.
Entertainment.
Yeah, that kind of thing. That was pretty awesome.
I remember my friend, that was one where people were like, you really need to go home and watch this because once it gets out, you're going to be pissed. And I'm like, okay. And then that just cut to me weeping at the end.
Did you do a reaction video on YouTube?
I did not.
No?
No.
Have you seen any of those videos?
I have. Yeah. I don't have the, I'm not young
enough
time. To have, well, or the, I don't have that nerve ending where it goes, record yourself doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess someone else would have to record it.
Yes, that's true. Have you seen all that stuff, Rhymes?
What?
Like people recording themselves watching episodes of Game of Thrones. There's a bar, I think, in Chicago where they would record everybody just watching.
Because I didn't care about anybody else's reactions, just mine.
It's just me for myself.
Maybe your own private YouTube channel you could have recorded it for.
Absolutely.
With a nice glass of apple juice and rum. No, I've had a lot of water. Romy gave me the silent, do you want more water?
Would you like a Coke?
No. How dare you tempt me with sugar?
Isn't this got sugar in it?
Once a year. I'll have a Pepsi.
Well, it's unsweetened.
This is unsweetened, but look, 8 calories for the whole can.
Well then. Very health conscious of you.
Spindrift is,
very health conscious
of you. I drink a tons of that. Everyone goes, oh, you should drink more. People are like, you should drink 8 gallons of water a day. And you'll live till you're 250.
Eight gallons is
well. No, they
quite
talk about like how much water you drink, and I was like, I don't think human beings, like 10,000 years ago, were like, well, I need to keep on drinking water all day long.
So I'm just gonna
get my half gallon, and
I'm just gonna lay by this little pond and wait for an alligator to come up and snap me.
Now, Joel, you keep on mentioning that you're older. Everything. And
yes.
I know how old you are, but I have to say, you look fantastic because
you actually
look like you're in your 30s.
Almost in your mid 40s. I'm 47. Well, that's nice
of you
to say.
You look younger than me,
you
bastard.
Give you the
money. You actually do.
Wow. Thanks,
Ryan.
He's got way better hair, though.
I don't know. Your hair's pretty sweet.
It's pretty.
You've got great hair.
You've got good beer game.
I just shaved this morning for you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'm actually saying is you guys grew. Actually, Dan, you look fantastic. But you guys actually look like you're the same age.
Oh.
So you're the one that's beating me for all these roles.
That's it. Thanks, that's dude. What's happening right now.
Appreciate that. Yeah. I was going to get that movie with Eric Banner, but you beat me to it.
It would have been two Australians playing.
That is.
That would have been like
New Yorkers. Was it? Yeah. Brooklyn?
It was in Brooklyn, yeah.
How was
and everyone kept talking like, oh, how was he?
Oh, how was the movie?
I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah.
I am one of the first people to tell you that if I'm in a piece of shit. And so
you'll have to tell us what pieces of shit you're in.
Oh, the list is it's mostly just shit. I really liked it and I had a great time and Eric is one of the more tremendous people. I can't compliment him because then it'll get back to him. He's an asshole. No, I love the man. He's great. His wife is terrific. His kids are great. He's ugly.
Yeah. Very.
Super ugly. He's a terrific. And he had, it was based on this guy named Ralph Sarchi. He wrote a book about, he's a cop and an exorcist. Mm. But his accent was so good. His Brooklyn accent was so good that when he would drop out of it back into his
Aussie,
G'day,
mate.
You want a?
Are you sure he's not really from New Zealand too?
No, Eric Banner is. He's full on G'day,
mate. Full on Melbourne and still lives there.
Yeah.
But he would drop out of it and all the cops on set would be like, hey, how'd you do that? And and then like some of the press was like, his accent's ridiculous. And I was like, you mean the toned down version of a lot of these guys that are walking around set?
Yeah.
And it's very specific dialect and he got it. He nailed it.
Yeah.
Thank God I didn't have to do one.
Have you seen Chopper? Have you seen him in Chopper?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, if you want to watch Eric Banner do some brilliant stuff, he was a comedian beforehand.
He was one of the biggest comedians in Australia.
Yeah.
He had his own sketch comedy show.
He did a sketch comedy show called Full Frontal. And he...
Super funny.
Yeah. He got cast in Chopper. He's this
he's
Melbourne...
He's got the face for comedy. Yeah.
He's a Melbourne gangster. He was kind of like a larger-than-life larrikin. And he played.
And when that guy, the actual gangster, said the only guy that can play me is that Eric Banner.
Yeah, and you watch him compared to what the real guy, and it was fucking brilliant. And that's what got Eric Banner to become kind of who he was. And then you know he went.
Well, it's funny because no one else in the world knew he was a comedian.
Yeah,
I just learned. Right. So what can I watch him in that shows off his comedic skills?
All on YouTube. There's Full Frontal. He plays all these sketch comedy characters and stuff like that, like, you know, Poeta, which is a bogan kind of chain-smoking, car-loving, which is probably closer to what he was like when he was younger. So watch all that sort of stuff on YouTube. And then everything he did in Hollywood was all like kind of dramatic, prior a couple of things. Like
with Munich. When he came out in Chopper, I mean, that's when he immediately was in Black Hawk Down after that and... He was off to the races. I mean, that was one of those things where...
And then working with Spielberg, with Munich and...
Yep.
Yeah.
He did a lot of good. And now he just is in that Dirty John show, which is great.
Do
based
you have
on that
a,
podcast.
Do you have a preference, you know...
Of Eric Banner movies?
No. comedy, drama?
I like the... no, I'm open. I like it all. I think people think I'm going to play a comedic dick all the time, which is kind of... True.
Well,
but
you gotta play what you're good at, man.
No, and it's good. Thank you very much. I am more than I love doing drama. So, and I think a lot of people know my dramatic work.
Yes.
Not really. But still, you know what I mean.
Do you get kind of? Do they kind of push you more towards the comedic kind of stuff and go, oh no, we just want you to do this?
No, I mean I have.
You have a bit more power to be. No,
I have very good agents who are. They know what I want and I'm like, you know, I was like, if it's interesting and good, I'm available, let's do it. So I enjoy it all. I'm very I'm a whore when it comes to that.
Yeah, well, it's nothing wrong
I'm
with being
I'm
a whore.
Wide open. Yeah, what do you prefer?
I'm like you. Like, I mean, I get kind of pushed more towards the, like, you know, the military Spartacus,
right,
that kind of, you know, British-y kind of roles and things like that. But I really like the dramatic kind of stuff. And I've done a few comedic things, but a lot of people don't really see me that way. Hmm. So,
well, who cares what they
but
see?
You look,
no, I know.
But
I know.
You look funny.
Yeah, I'm hilarious.
How dare you?
To
what about
at.
You, Romy?
Prefer drama, but I love both.
All right. Yeah. See, look, we're all in the same boat here.
That is true. Was there what was the massive difference, like, for example, doing Community to then, what was it, The Great Indoors?
Was yes, it Great Indoors? The Great Indoors. Well, Community went 6 years and Great Indoors went one. One was a four camera sitcom and the other was a single camera.
Yeah.
The hours were definitely different. But no, I mean,
it's pretty crazy on a network sitcom, isn't it?
Pretty
cruisy? Oh, sorry. That's a very Australian term. No?
No, not this one. We shot ours like a movie. Like when a single camera comedy, if it's shot in a documentary style, is pretty good hours.
Yeah.
Nine to five from if you can bring it that, if you can, once the crew and all the cast get in sync, then yeah, it can be pretty efficient.
It looks like that would have been so much fun.
But Community was shot like a movie.
Oh, okay.
So we,
okay. Oh, okay. All right.
That was, so we were putting in, we were putting 80 hour weeks in some, I mean, crazy hours.
Oh, wow. Oof.
I often would miss, twice it had it often, so, but twice I had missed, so I had flights going to New York at like 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning, but we were shooting, we were so behind schedule that we would just shoot. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll miss that flight.
Oh, God.
And I'd get wrapped at 7 in the morning after like some 17-hour day. And then I was like, I missed the flight. I won't be there.
How was the psyche after that?
Well,
without the sleep.
Wait, I thought you said sake, and I was like, where did that come from?
Well, I would drive to the airport and fall asleep on a plane and wake up on the East Coast. As I usually would go. I'm pretty good with sleep deprivation. It kind of, once it builds up after 4 days, then I'm pretty useless.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can operate pretty, when you step on stage, the adrenaline really helps. Cause I was doing, and continue to do a lot of stand up. So, so that, and then I crawl right back to the airport and back in LA by 9:30 in the morning. So yeah, I've shortened my life, but still it's worth it for the stuff. Cause I want stuff, guys.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, the hours were crazy. I assume Spartacus was crazy.
Yeah. Cause it was all in like, we didn't have to,
you're never outside.
No, we're never outside. So, the crazy hours came from like, we'd shoot all our stuff, but then we'd have to like, the way they did it was they shot the Romans and then they shot the Gladiators. So 1 week was Romans, 1 week was Gladiators. So the Romans got all this time off because they didn't really have to do anything kind of extremely violent. But the entire time, all the Gladiators were continually picking up shots and doing fighting, then we're having to train and do all that. So by the end, people had stopped training and were getting like their abs shaded on and stuff like that because we're just like, we're done.
When would you have time?
Yeah, we were done. Like,
if you're putting in a 15-hour day, when do you have, when between sleep and eating and your life, when do you, when would you? I mean, just other than between takes, just doing push-ups.
Yeah, like it was that kind of thing. Or do it on the weekend. And then on the weekend, you're just like, that's the last thing I would like to do. But Liam, because he had never really done anything of that physical nature when he took over from Andy, he was working out nonstop. And it wasn't until like halfway through the third season where his body really started to change shape because he was, I think he was like maybe 30 at the time or 28, 29, 30. And because he'd never really done any upper body weights or anything of that nature, like the body just takes a long time, especially when he's at that age, to start to click in. And so he worked his ass off. And it was a very thankless job for him, I kind of think, because everyone was just going, you're not Andy.
Right.
You look like Andy.
He threaded a needle that was very difficult to thread.
No, absolutely.
Andy Whitfield died very sadly.
Yeah.
And he was very good. And then Liam took over, and boy, he was great.
Yeah. No, like Liam did an amazing job. And like Andy was amazing as well. I honestly thought Andy was going to be like the next Bond.
Yeah.
Like he's just,
oh, he was fantastic. He was, he had an edge
everywhere he went as well. Like girls were like, who the fuck is that? And he was just this nice, sweet kind of, you know, married Welsh dude with a couple of kids and stuff like that. And,
That was so tragic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was tragic, I remember.
Anyway.
Yeah, on that happy, super happy note.
Let's see.
All right. When do you have to...
I should leave in about, if I'm smart, 15 minutes.
15 minutes. All right. 15 minutes.
We've done what? We've done...
We've done 50 minutes.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good. What else? What else can we chat about? What?
Yeah.
How did you meet your wife?
Yes.
All right. Great.
No, because you've been married for...
No, I'm not married.
Well, you mentioned your wife.
No, I didn't.
Are you guys fucking with me?
I'm not a part of this.
I'm not married. I have never gotten married.
Okay, so tell me about your children. Because you did mention kids.
I didn't mention kids either. No, I've been... where did I meet my wife? My lovely wife, Sarah. We just were married 23 years last weekend.
Damn. Oh, so wow. I saw your little high-fivey thing or whatever it is, and the dog was going nuts.
Yeah, that dog is crazy.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That crazy dog. That's Beanbag the dog. He's crazy and the best. I love him so much. Where did I remember? I was walking home from football practice in college, and my wife
what was your
sitting
position?
Outside. Tight end. Thank you. Do you even know what that is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I watch NFL.
Yeah.
Who has a tight end?
Me.
See? I agree. And she was sitting outside of her sorority. And that's
this is just
that is
movie.
Yeah, that is
like, oh my god!
And whenever she said,
"It's a shame you went the quarterback."
See, she said when she saw me, she said my posture was so bad walking up that she's like, "What's wrong with that guy?" And I was just like,
"What was wrong?"
Were well, just like, I had just spent the last 4 hours running into enormous men.
Yeah,
and I think I was a bit tired. I also had terrible posture, just in general. But our friend Kim. Was with we will see Kim next week. She lives in Seattle, and but she kind of introduced us, and but we did not date after that first meeting. Then
would you once you corrected your posture?
Yeah, once I fixed that through the Alexander technique.
We did that at college.
Oh, we all did. It works.
Yes,
it does. It's actually pretty cool. You feel like you're walking on the moon when you get back up.
Yeah,
yeah.
When she, the woman, it took like a couple of weeks, and then. I had horrible back spasms because I had never used these muscles in my back, and it took a long time to I couldn't catch my breath because they were all spasming.
Oh God!
After she aligned me, we can talk more about the Alexander technique later, guys.
Yes, yes.
It really does work though. Anyway, what am I saying? Oh, and then it was like three and a half years later that I kind of re-met her, and I went. Please be with me forever, would you? And she agreed.
So she saw you through the lean times in your career. Were there any lean times?
I was never not lean. I feel like I'm always in pretty good shape. Thanks, Romy. Were there lean times? Yes, all the time. There was a lot of that. No, her family. It was before I was ever made any money or had any roles that... You know, it was all just improvising and plays, and they were like, "Who the hell are you dating?" Her mom was actually pretty cool with me, thank God. But they were just like, "Are you crazy? You're dating a guy, an actor? You're gonna support this guy forever?" Her grandmother thought, "Oh, he's just dating you for your car." That's what her grandmother thought.
Oh my God!
And then I got on local TV in Seattle, and boy.
Everything changed.
They were like, "Oh, isn't he great?"
Yeah, I've heard a few of those stories. Do you know the Aussie band Jet?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I remember hearing a story about the lead singer of Jet was going out with this girl, and the family just were like, "Who is this guy? Rockers?" Blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, that song became massive,
yeah.
And they're like, "Come here, you're awesome."
The rock stars,
yes,
here. Yeah,
the rock stars.
That,
yeah.
Welcome to the family.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
we knew the whole time that you were going to be famous.
Yeah, that boy, that. That was that. It sure helped being on local television, and that's how we met. And then I paid her to marry me. It was great,
fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
That's how it works in America.
Well, how did you deal with the lean times?
I would get jobs.
Yeah.
Well, I was on local TV in Seattle until we moved to here.
Yeah,
and then I worked at a wine shop.
Really?
On Larchmont. Still there. I still talk to them. Still buy wine. I buy a lot of wine from them.
I think I know that wine. Do they sell cheese as well? Is it like a wine and cheese plate? Yes.
And their sandwiches are some of the best.
Yeah. Do they give you a discount because you used to work there?
No. I pay
double. Well, they charge you more now. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm trying to throw my money around. I'd be like, here's a tip. I don't care. It's fine. No.
Take this one.
Yeah, no. And my wife supported me. She worked in graphic design and interior design and continues to. But she was the breadwinner for a long time. And then thank God it started working.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, I was like, if you're going to marry me, you have to move to Los Angeles or New York at some point. And she was like, all right. And cut to us 20 years later here in LA. But I said, you have to give me 5 years to try to make it work. And then by four, I had the soup. It was barely going. So I'm like, I guess we're staying. And
it's going really well.
Right. So the Airbus that was slowly taking off was taking off around then.
So if at 5 years, because you must have, it sounds like you had a plan. If 5 years, nothing hits, what were you planning on doing?
Suicide. yeah. It was just going to be, you know, like if you're a samurai general, like if you're losing the battle, it's not like, well, we'll try again tomorrow. That didn't work. And then you stab yourself.
Yeah.
No.
An honorable death.
Very honorable. Yeah. That's how I don't know. I was going to probably go back and try to find a job in local television or radio or something like that.
Well, yeah. Thank God you didn't.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I would have if it wasn't working after 5 years, my wife would have probably said, just go for another two and see what happens. But cause she's incredibly generous in that way with her time, cause I dragged her away from her family. But I don't know. I don't know what would have happened. I'm very lucky.
We're absolutely
all very lucky. I mean, look at us now.
Yeah, totally.
We're here in this well, perfectly lit apartment. One light bulb in the center of the room.
Yes. Well, that's what I've noticed actually in Los Angeles. So many apartments and houses just have like no lighting, like no proper lighting. Because they're like such old kind of buildings and stuff.
This
like
is a very old building. Yeah. Octavia Spencer used to live in this complex, believe it or not. And
really?
When she won the Oscar, actually, she left shortly afterwards. But I'm always
fascinated.
She
was thrown out.
Yeah. I'm fascinated with that contraption because it looks like a doorbell or something. And that's definitely mid-century.
Yeah, looks like the doorbell.
Or the sound from where the doorbell would come.
No,
in.
No, yeah, I didn't think that was where you pushed it. <I know. laughs> Big plastic box high up on the ceiling. Like no, you don't push the doorbell from within.
You need a broom to actually press it and stuff like that. What are you working on at the moment?
Well, right now, Card Sharks on ABC, guys.
Ah, lovely.
On last night,
yeah,
that's a game show. Mm-hmm. They brought back all these 70s game shows, so. Alec Baldwin hosts the Match Game, and I host this thing called Card Sharks, and Elizabeth Bank hosts this thing called Press Your Luck, which was early 80s. And ABC brought them all back and was very nice to ask me. So I was like,
here you go.
There you go. I got some nice suits out of it.
Was that your payment? Some suits?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Fair enough. Suits.
How's Alec? Do you get to chat to him much?
I've been on the Match Game a bunch of times. I love that man.
Yeah.
He's so great. And
he's amazing.
Talented. And when you talk to him, you're like, oh, this is an A-list. This is what an A-list, how they come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like insanely good looking, insanely funny. And then you look at the body of his work and you're like, dear God.
Yeah, I know. He's been doing it for a million years.
And he's like, Joel.
And he has that voice.
How are you? I'm like, I'm doing well. Good. Have you tried the coffee here? It's great. And I'm like, yes, it is great. Even if it wasn't great, I would agree with anything you said. He really is. Yeah, he's been very kind to me.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Banks is super nice. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like we're all together. We're,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're all taped separately. But yeah. And then I'm doing Shark Week.
Nice.
Nice.
This is this Sunday. There's a two-hour Shark Week movie.
Really?
With me, Rob Riggle, Adam Devine, Anthony Anderson and Damon Wayans Jr. And we went to the Bahamas.
What a shit job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Poor. And they were like, I feel so sorry for you.
I don't know how I do it. And then we swam.
Did you get to swim with sharks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it was great.
Yes.
Yeah. We scuba dive with sharks.
That's a
Is that on your bucket
that's,
list?
That's a bucket list for me. I'd like to go in a cage.
Oh, we weren't in cages.
Sharks. Oh, really?
No.
What kind of sharks were they?
They were Nurse and Reef Sharks.
Oof.
They're big boys. But there was no... We did capture... We were trying to find a tiger shark.
Yeah.
And they are way more dangerous.
Yeah.
And bull sharks are way more dangerous. Anyway, we did get a tiger shark. They caught it and we tagged it and set it free. But those things have a... they were telling us they have this... nerve response that if you touch part of their face, they automatically bite whatever it is. It's not aggression. It is just their mouths will trigger.
So all of you were like, all right, let's see.
Don't touch the fucking mouth. And they give you a PVC pole, which, you know, I'm like, they gave us a pole, like a piece of plastic.
That's going to stop a shark.
2 feet long and you have to put your hand. I was like, this is it. This is all we get. And they say, like, if you put it up, it will swim into it. And if it's coming right at you, it will swim into it. It'll turn away. It won't activate.
So you're not scared at all when you're...
You can't... I don't know. No, I mean, I am okay with that sort of thing. I don't have an avert... I'm trying to think of what I would... No, I there was enough people, like, I was like, there's no way we're going to, all like, I stupidly were like, we are not going to die here. We're a bunch of dumb celebrities. This will be fine.
Yeah, nothing ever happens to us.
Yeah. And so.
Steve Irwin? Okay.
Yeah. Well, he was an expert.
And he was an expert. Yeah. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah. So, no, but they are like, don't put your hand in the front of the shark's face because they'll think it's food. And I was like, it's really good. So everyone just kept their hands behind their back and the sharks, they come right up to you.
Oof.
And
that at that point, yeah, I would have been like, mm-hmm.
They rub against you.
That's the skin. Yeah. The skin's pretty harsh, isn't it?
It's like what you would.
Or were you in suits?
We were in, well, that was our big, we didn't need them because the water was so damn warm, but no. We had the 7 centimeter wetsuits, which I was like, what's this going to stop? They're like, it's one layer of resistance. But there was this, it's not a parasite. It's a microscopic animal that stings just as bad as a jellyfish.
Oof.
And we were all in the same spot because when they put the chum out, that's when all the sharks show up. And then it's a shark
feeding frenzy
right there. But these two of the crew guys got stung by this thing that if it gets into your wetsuit, there's nothing you can do. The burn is so crazy looking. It looks like someone took a knife to this one guy and started at the top of his neck and just started drawing down his back. And
oh, my God.
It was this umbrella of straight abrasions. And then all the abrasion was up his neck, and they said because it gets trapped in the suit, that's why it kind of goes. And I was like, so why do we have the suits? Let's get rid of the suits. And but they got stung badly, and I was, and then they said it gets really bad at night because then that's when the burn really comes on. I was like, thank fucking God I didn't get. So anyway, I was more scared of that than the sharks.
Yeah, totally. Unseen.
When we started dropping down, they're like, okay, all the sharks are there. Just step, because I'm not a scuba. I learned how to scuba dive in my pool 2 days before.
Yeah.
And they were like, just go there. And as you're dropping down, as I'm looking down, I was like, there's like 25 fucking sharks there. And see that they kind of, the way they get, like dogs coming to like mealtime, that's kind of how I kind of saw them. They're like, they were very excited that there was dead fish everywhere.
Yeah.
And they weren't really interested in you, but they would look at you. They'd be like, are you food? All right. And they would give you but they would come right up and they turn right at the end. And because they move so fast, they just happen to have this garbage can size mouth that will, with razors around it. So it was pretty amazing. Yeah, it was amazing.
See, that is something that no matter how much money somebody offered me, I could not do because I'd be terrified.
$60 million?
Okay, I might do that.
Okay, there's always a price. There's always a price, yeah.
But, she flipped right over.
But what would you not do if somebody, because, you know, I can see you said, you know, that didn't bother you.
No, like I did, I'm trying to, I know it sounds like I'm just bragging now, but like I did a show with Bear Grylls and we climbed out of the Grand Canyon. We were ascending a rope just because we were hanging off. And I was like, and people were like, oh, well, I couldn't. And I just kind of like, well, Bear Grylls isn't going to kill me. This guy was, if he kills a celebrity, his career's over. So I think I just refer to myself as a celebrity. And but I thought, oh, this should be fine. But I, like my wife and I, we climbed Mount Rainier, and that's pretty, when we were on that mountain, two people died. But I go like, we have these guides. Yes, things could go south, but I trust these guys to get us up there and back. I'm trying to think of like the thing that would, I had.
Kill someone?
No, I've done that a couple times.
All right, fair enough.
They're asking for it. No,
killed them on
stage. I don't know.
Stage.
Just like, I just don't know what I don't know hecklers. What television show or movie would be like. Well, you actually have to murder someone in this. Then you know it's not.
Hey, good. Like give it 10-15 years. I'm sure. Like you know,
eventually,
like the UFC is going
to
become something completely
like,
different.
What? Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, well, I'm gay. If you guys think, I'm always like, well, this seems like a professional operation.
yeah.
So there's cameras. People are.
I mean, you've seen The Running Man and stuff like that. Like, who knows what would happen?
I mean, it could. I'll show you the picture of the. I gotta go soon, guys.
That's okay.
I'll show you the picture.
Are you doing stand up at the moment?
Yes, right now.
Yeah.
What happened?
This very second.
I just did it last week in. Jackpot, Nevada.
What's that process like? I mean, you can just explain quickly if you can.
Process of it?
Yeah, because that scares the shit out of me doing stand-up.
Well, it's like... Hold on, let me get to this great... I'm just bragging with photos. Come on, where is it?
And this is my kid, and this is the holiday we went on.
No, that's not as good as... Oh, no, there's Nebraska. Oh, here's a good one. No, that's not good. Come on. That's decent, yeah.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah, there we are. That's us crawling out of the Grand Canyon.
Oh, shit, dude.
Yeah, and I just thought, well...
That's phenomenal.
Just keep going up, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, don't look down.
No, stand-up, I've been doing it since 2004, like, in earnestness. Yeah. So it's like anything where if you... do it enough, you're going to learn whether you're good or not, but you have to do it endlessly. It's like a sport for me. And you must stay in shape. So you have to be up there every night telling jokes and honing them and stuff like that. So I know that people go like, I'm scared, but it's like when you start out in a bar with two people in it, it's less scary. Yeah. It's still pretty scary, but you know, now that I've done it thousands of times. So I don't go on there going like, well, this is where it all falls apart. Actually, I do that quite a bit where I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm much more, you know, like I can
save it.
I've done it so many times that I look forward to it. I enjoy it. I love it.
Do you find people are more receptive to you because of your stature now? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like you'll see, say, for example, Eddie Murphy and like, he'll say something and everybody will laugh.
No, that's actually because... The Soup was the time when I could just say catchphrases from The Soup out loud and people would respond.
Yeah.
Now it's like, it's people, like when I go to a casino, like half the people don't know who I am.
Oh, okay.
And they get the free tickets and I'm like, I have to get these folks.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's really funny you mentioned, because I was going to mention Eddie Murphy. I just saw him.
You saw the Comedians in Cars, yeah.
Yeah, and he talked about this. It's a muscle that he kind of lost now.
Once something like that, he's got the athletic comedy ability to do whatever he wants. He's got... It's just like Steve Martin stopped doing stand-up, but if Steve Martin really wanted to, he could go back. I mean, he does that show with Martin Short, which is so brilliant. But he could go back and do that if he wanted to. But yes, I would say Eddie Murphy, I'm guessing he's going to be at a lot of the comedy clubs trying stuff out.
Well, I wonder if how...
But he talked about, Dan, how
I wonder how
said,
politically correct his stuff will
what
be. Because, you know, you look back
what
at...
What did you just say?
What?
Oh, no, it was what you mentioned Eddie Murphy. He said that it's when he doesn't know how it's going to go, he always does the best.
Yeah,
as
I would
agree.
As opposed
to, I'm going to kill this.
I mean, he also became the most famous comedian on the planet.
Yeah,
so,
Raw and Delirious.
Yeah, and with the movies. And so it was a thing where people just wanted to be in the same room with him.
Mm.
And that's different than... And so he would, as he said, like he could just make a weird face and people would just go, they'll go crazy. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, obviously, he still has this massive fan. He's so famous.
Oh,
that
it's Eddie Murphy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could, who knows how, I mean.
I'd love to see him.
I'm sure it's going to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's funny when you like my friend has seen, like you think about Seinfeld, who is such, obviously one of the most famous and will be one of the most famous stand-ups ever. But my friend is like, yo, no, he'll come and work out stuff and a lot of it doesn't work. And then you'll see the thing that works and be like, that will be in the show.
Yeah.
And then he hones it down. And
yeah.
These guys don't get up there and score every time.
Yeah.
they can't. I mean, it's it would be like Michael Jordan never missing a shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah. I mean, you have to eat shit to get to the peanuts.
Yeah, because that's what you do. Well, I remember seeing Kevin Hart on Joe Rogan, and he was talking about that's what he did. Like, he goes and does all these like tiny little kind of things and stuff like that.
We got to wrap this up.
Yes, we got to wrap this up.
No, but that's what and Kevin's a perfect example of someone who works their ass off.
Yeah, and he goes to all the tiny ones and pops up, and people are like, whoa, holy shit, it's Kevin Hart.
And he's then just he tries out like stuff. Three jokes, and then they're like, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is what makes you guys so successful, is you're willing to eat shit and take the risk and see what works. People have to go outside the
box. Oh, not me, guys. I just show a tape of Jim Gaffigan killing, and then I'm gonna have to use your restroom.
McDonald's.
I hope, is that decorated?
It's pretty good.
No,
it's pretty.
It's yeah. But
it's the most decorated room in the house.
Oh, all right. So. Well, this is great.
We have to wrap this up, Joel. Yeah, you gotta go.
I've got a conference call in 15 minutes.
That's
thank
all good,
you so
dude.
Much.
Thank you so
thank
much
you for having me.
Much.
How long did we do? An hour.
We did an hour and 15 minutes. Well done, ladies and gentlemen.
Guys, listen to the high school reunion show.
Yes.
Dan and Romy.
Romy and Dan's high school reunion podcast. Is there anywhere that they can see you doing
watch
stand-up?
Watch my stand-up on Amazon. It releases on August 6th on Amazon.
There we go.
My special. It's called Live from Pyongyang.
Fantastic. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening.
You.
And thank you very much, Joel. It's been
thank
a pleasure,
you.
Man. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Thank you.